I am, again, if you're getting the emails, then you know that this week is a special, it's kind of a bittersweet service. This is our final service of Steve Arriola's ministry here as an elder of Limway Church, and I want to say a couple of things before I have him come up and share with you. And this is, I've been very emotional reflecting upon the ministry of Steve Arriola. Now, we have in the church presently 5 elders, about to be 4 elders. The elders I'm one of them, but I rely on the elders. The elders are my pastors. They are my shepherds. They watch over my soul. And as I thought about Steve and how long he has been an elder, I don't think this is not an exaggeration. This is a reality that second only to my own father, Steve has had the greatest influence in my life. He has been an elder over me. He has watched over my soul for more than half of my life, for much, way more, unfortunately. A long time, nearly 3 decades that he has cared for my soul. The spiritual shaping of my life has been led by him. And so for that reason, that's the role that elders have over the congregation. They shepherd your soul. They watch over your soul. They pray over you. They seek God's direction in the teaching and the shaping of the theological vision of the congregation. They play a huge role. And for decades, Steve has played that role over my life, and I am eternally grateful for that. And so, to hear this last message from him is going to be, I hope it's not too painful. He already told me he's going to mock me. So that's okay. I'm so grateful for him. I love him, and I'm glad to have him here and share this last message with us. So would you welcome Steve Arriola as he comes and ministers to us this morning?
Thank you. Yes, in front of witnesses, I told Daniel, I want to give you my most insincere apologies for what I'm about to do to you from the pulpit. So, yeah, and he even said that. So, it's crazy. We started the church in 1985, which is a long time ago, and we were at the time, I think they called them dinks, dual income, no kids. And is the, you can put the first slide up there, and. And it was surreal. We met at the warehouse that's right there on Poway Road, which is now, I think it's still the Elks Lodge, right next to the Poway mortuary. And it was interesting. it was a culture shock. But, you know, we dug in right away, and I was just remembering probably in February, started going to the men's meeting, which Bob Sloan and J.B. Fitzpatrick did, and Bob is Val's father, and here I am, I think 28, maybe 29, and going to this old Bible study with all these old guys, and yet they had so much wisdom, and he was a postal worker, and J.B. was a print setter when they had print setting for the Union Tribune, and yet they were just so welcoming and so down to earth and real, and it's just like, okay, I want this. And I just met people that I would otherwise not have met, you know, because we were college educated and in management and all that type of stuff, and it was wonderful. And so we got involved in the church, and that was great. And this here, Athena asked Daniel, what is it? What does this mean? And Daniel just said, it's Steve being Steve. So it actually is a challenge, a challenge for Val to figure it out before the end of the service. Because, you know, if she weren't pastor's wife, for her to make up games, I mean, she is just the most creative game maker. And we always had a lot of fun, always. And that's what Christianity should be. That's what church should be. I'm going to go. I taught covenants class for 2 decades. I was Catholic background, and so catechism like really meant a lot to me. and taught the catechism. That's what it was called. Pastor Charles Green did it's a great curriculum. Many of you here took it from me and Kathy. And so I thought fitting to start with the Westminster Catechism. And the question number one is, what is the chief end of man? And the answer to that is, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. I've heard this repeated back many times. I always hear the glorify God part, because that's what we're supposed to do. That's why we're here. In fact, that's why we got saved, really, because Jesus glorified God, and as a result, we got saved. So at the end of the day, that's what it was. So don't think too highly of yourself, as you were saying. But we don't hear the, and enjoy him forever. That's good. And that is important, to enjoy God. Yes. It doesn't matter what your circumstance is, you can enjoy God. Because yes. He's going to put you, you have to believe that you are where he wants you. At the end of the day, that's the end of the story. You have to believe that. And so the you know they give a couple one you know reference that they have in the Westminster Catechism is the Psalm 86:9. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, Lord. They will bring glory to your name. But the next verse is really something that Pastor Doug instilled in me early on, and that is for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. What is that glory? It's us. It's us. Us bringing glory to God. That's the glory, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. That's us. And this church has been mission-minded since day one. And it is so important to keep note of that. It's there. And our calling is, you know, to the world. And as far as enjoying yourself, it was always a joy here. That was the thing. We have to enjoy ourselves. And that started from all the parties. We used to have parties, stay here all night, all-nighters and things like that. And that was the party girl, you know? It really was. Doug would probably go to sleep, but no, that's going to keep you up and awake. And now you have Daniel who's enjoying himself all the time. And he picks weird stuff. So, you know, my son Joel had to have a procedure this week, and on outpatient procedure on Wednesday, and he's out there just talking to the person that's checking him in, and you know, finds out that she makes cakes, and that's what she really wants to do, but she's checking in, and she has a 3D printer that prints faces and all that. Oh, so you could print me with a, you know, and it's like only Joel's going to figure out that the person checking him in at Sharps is makes cakes. But we came home, and he says, "Hey, Dad, can we watch a movie?" "Sure. What do you want to watch?" "Fever Pitch." And I thought, oh, that's perfect, because Daniel is out at spring training, and he's going to be that crazy fan that's out there. But it skipped the generation. It's his daughter that got the pictures on the front page of the Union Tribune with pictures of it. But again, he enjoys life. He enjoys just he enjoys being a martyr, because, you know, they're just the losing team, and you know it just is. His dad learned a lot a long time ago. You'll have to ask him about the Holy Roller story, but he learned, you know, about the Chargers and how they're definitely never going to bring you joy. So so anyways, we still find ways to get joy. So question number two is, what rule has God given to us to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy him? So that's a good question. If the first thing is we're supposed to bring him glory, then how are we supposed to glorify him, and how are we supposed to enjoy him? So, of course, God gives us the answers to that. The answer is the Word of God, which is contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, is the only rule to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy Him. So it's the Word of God. It's there. And in Luke 24, it says, then Jesus took them through the writing of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all scriptures the things concerning Himself. And how from childhood you have been, it went through and just explained everything that you're supposed to do. Here's where the Bible's talking about me. And he went on and explained it. And then to Timothy, Paul says, and how from childhood you have been acquainted and with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. He equips us for every good work. And Ephesians 2, it tells us that we are God's workmanship. We're His handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do the good works which He preordained for us. That's a whole bunch of different versions of the scripture, but that's where I remembered it. But God has something for each of us, specifically, that only each of us can do. Got to remember that. God does, but you have to remember that. So we need to love the Word of God. At the end of the day, we need to love the Word of God. And that's what attracted me to this church, was the love of the Word of God. Because people can, you know, it wasn't a mistake that the name of the Bible college that they went to and that we had here for years was Berean Bible College. And Bereans would go out and search what the Word would say and see if it was true or not. But in John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Think about that. The Word was God. So it's kind of hard to love God if you don't love the Word. It really is. Oh, it's just me and Jesus. No, it isn't. It's you and God, and you have to have his Word. So we need to love the Word of God, and that's what's been so important to my life in this church, and to see what it says. And it's sometimes very grieving to see what is done with the Word of God and how it's taken out of context. And I was reminding the elders this morning, I can't remember who the speaker was, maybe Val remembers, but when we had covenant class, we used to have banquets, and we had a covenant graduation banquet at the Brigantine when it first opened. And whoever the speaker was just said something that really stuck to me. He goes, you know, people build stuff on sand, but what's sand but fragmented rock? And that's so true. You get little bits and pieces, but it's not the rock. It's not the Word of God. You have to take on the whole counsel of God. And that's what we need to understand. We take on the whole counsel of God, love God, love His Word, and see how it's speaking to me individually. And you can digest the Word in a whole bunch of different ways. And I digest it reading it after I've listened to it when I'm walking. I just listen to it all the time. And they go, what? I never heard that. And rewinding. And what? Where does it say that? This is not an authorized version. What is this? Then I go back and go, oh, okay. And just a different venue, a different translation. Wow, what a concept. We were talking about bumper stickers this morning, and I remember seeing a bumper sticker a long time ago, which convinced me I'm never going to have a bumper sticker. One side says, King James Bible. If it's good enough for Paul, it's good enough for me. Okay, talk about ignorance. And then the next one, God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Okay. Don't want to go anywhere near that person. They're not going to evangelize me. So anyways, the Bible, whatever version, but getting into different versions and everything. Like if you ever read or listen to the message, it's like, what? What? And then you go back and say, oh, yeah, that is a different take on it. So one thing that I learned here right away is salvation is for everyone. It is for everyone. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will not be disgraced. Jews and Gentiles in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Yeah. Everyone, all of us. And we got to get them to call on the Lord to be saved. The exciting part is that everyone has their own part to play. Like I said, it's preordained of what we need to do. We all have a part to play, and none of it is trivial. None of it is trivial. So I just retired in September 1 of last year. It's hard to believe that March 1st is going to be 6 months. It's been, I remember when Mark Anthony retired, he said, yeah, it takes a lot of paperwork, a lot of different things that go on for the first few months. So you're not going to be, it's not going to be like an instant. That's true. Lots of stuff that's going on. But when I was working, I was VP of operations for a large electrical products manufacturer. And so I was in charge of all the operations and success factors, which is the HR thing where you see the chain and all that. I had about 6,500 people that reported up through me through that area. And my job was really to go around and encourage everybody, see what they were doing, see what they needed, how can we help, and how can we do better, how can we meet the goals. And one thing that a lot of the things that I noticed while I was working, and one of the guys that we thought was going to be my successor, I told him, you know, one of the things that that has really helped me is praying for each one of you. That's why I'm kind of nosy about your lives, you know, is just to pray for you so that you guys could do the best you can and have a good life. Because at the end of the day, you're working here for the betterment of your family. You know, yes, for the betterment of the company, but for the betterment of your family. So we all have a part to play. And, you know, just being a Christian helped me in doing that and letting them know, hey, someone actually cares about you. And we need to make sure that we are exuding that, because you can't be like a total jerk and an idiot and then say, oh, do you know Jesus? No, that doesn't work that way, you know? It's just, yeah, care about people and take an interest in them. And we all have parts to play. We had the great worship team this morning. That's important. I'm going to get into that a little bit more in a couple minutes here. But all of that, we all have a part to play. We have to do it to the best of our abilities. It says in Romans 12, 3 through 8, it says, for by grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. I love that. But rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then encourage, give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, then do it cheerfully. And God gives us things to do. And we need to do them skillfully. And you know what? You don't need, doesn't say anywhere in there, put Christianese in it while you're doing it. Just like I told you about my son Joel just making this woman's day just by saying, what do you do? And she has a passion for making cakes. And I'm sure it went well. Oh, yeah, here, this is a nice young man. Take him in. All that kind of stuff. My oldest daughter, Julie, is a massage therapist, and she has healing hands. And I know I'm going to get the story wrong, but she's got a patient who some people don't believe in massage. Some people don't believe in chiropractic. They don't believe in stuff. That's fine, but you should open yourself up to what some of these possibilities are. But she has a patient that had fake cancer over here that basically ruined his jaw and the muscles and everything and the nerves, and he ended up clenching all the time, getting headaches from clenching. And she is got a whole bunch of certificates. I don't know exactly what she has, but she started massaging his liver. And through organ massage, which is a big thing, he doesn't clench anymore. And he's like, he still doesn't have the complete, but he's like, I don't get migraines from clenching. Of course he's going to come to her now and all that. And it's just opening up. But it's healing hands, and it's doing it diligently. And just fast forward to this last Christmas, Christmas Eve, Rachel has some friends, and both of them are PhD candidates at the Salk Institute here in San Diego. And one of them has her own neuro lab. And so her and Julie start talking about this massage thing, and Katie, the girl who was talking about it, said, "Yeah, goes. You think about the nerves and all the points, because they were talking about pressure points and all that. It's sort of like the Christmas tree lights and the nets. You know, if one light goes out, everything goes out, and you have to find that little light and put it back in, and then everything works again." And they were talking about that, and then I lost track of where they were with it. But you know, consider that and what you do. And I know this last week, Pastor Doug said something that impacted me 30 some years ago, and I'll never forget it. And that was, you know, he read Proverbs 11:24. Back then, he was moving over from King James to NIV. Just couldn't figure out because he'd never used the scattereth. But then he said, okay, it's the Amplified. Okay, that was it. It was the Amplified. But there's one who generously scatters abroad, yet increases all the more. And there is one who withholds what is justly due, but it results only in want and poverty. And that meant a lot to me. And when he talked about faith commitments and everything, said, you know, put me to the test, Malachi. And I did. And God has never let me down. Never. And it really is a heart thing. Where you put your priorities and everything, if it's going to be on getting riches, it's pretty shallow. But boy, when you start giving out and seeing and going out, and I got the opportunity to go to the mission field all over the place with this church, and it's wonderful. But that really, really, really just had a big impact on me. And I've been giving to the mission field ever since. So the other verse on this that I want to talk about, everyone has a part to play. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about them unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. And that is getting we are saturated with the gospel here, but it's amazing how the world doesn't know about it, and they have to be sent. And that was something that, you know, I really purposed in our lives is to just give to missionaries. And it was tremendous a few weeks ago, all the missionaries that are there and all that's going on and all that they've been doing. And we have a part in that. And our part is different than their part. That's okay. So the secret of all of this really is show up. That's the number one thing. And, you know, it says in, it's probably 1 Corinthians 15, the first the natural, then the spiritual, something like that. 15, right? 1546. Okay, got it. I should have written those notes down. But, you know, show up. That is a big thing. Show up. And I know I did that from the beginning. Here, but I did that before I got here in school, and just showing up gave me a whole bunch of opportunity that I would have never had. My roommate at the time said, hey, you want to get $20? Sure. We're going to go to Billy's house and shovel mud out of his Topanga Canyon home after it rains. Go up there, open the door, and it's William Shatner. Captain Kirk, Billy, what's your last name? Shatner. Why didn't you tell me? I don't know your last name. Why would I tell you? So, but showing up, you know, showing up and doing that. I was also thinking just, I was very involved in the band. I went to UCLA back when we had teams, and we had an athletic director that had teams and all that stuff. And, you know, I got to meet Dick Emberg. And I got to meet Kurt Gowdy. At the time, they were the only two broadcasters that were in the Hall of Fame for all three major sports, football, baseball, and basketball. And met Dick Emberg at a basketball game because I was sort of like in charge of different things, of passing out stuff. And I met Kurt Gowdy at a football game because I played clarinet and then I played sax in the band. And, you know, in a marching band, you don't need a clarinet. They're just like, good. So I said, okay. Someone asked, hey, will you do the color guard, which are the tall flags? And I go, yeah. So I started the color guard team at UCLA. So I used to get to go to the football games and be up in the press box. And so we welcomed the Arizona State Sun Devils when they left the losing conference of the WAC, which became the Mountain West, and they came to the Pac-10 at the time, right? And on their stadium, they have a big A. Well, all the people in the band, there was 350 of us, I think. We took all the 7 buses to get there and everything. We got a bunch of rock salt and put UCL in front of the A. And thank God for Kurt Gowdy, because he's a great commentator, but it's like, all right, folks, and he thought he was being funny. You may think this is a home game for the UCLA Bruins, but no, we are in Tempe, Arizona, and this is a home game for the Arizona State, Sun Devils, and some youngsters, some pranksters with strong backs. So I got to put the piece of paper that told them that we were doing up there, because you have a press box, you have spread sheets, and do all that. But just showing up, being able to do that, and that's something that I'll remember for a long time. But see, I don't follow them as much anymore because they don't bring me joy anymore. But I know I wish I were like Daniel, where I could do that. We're breaking up the Pac-12 Conference of Champions, which is. Stanford has 131 championships, national championships, UCLA 121, Kentucky 14, and 8 of them are there. Sorry. But everyone has a part to play. And I remember that the last game that Wooden played was down here in San Diego Sports Arena, where they beat the Kentucky 92-85, but they were having a very terrible time against Louisville, who they played before. and in the semifinals to get there. And the crowd was, you know, UCLA had won 9 championships. It's not fair. You can't win 10 championships in basketball. And I didn't get to go. I was a freshman. But the band director puts, we had these books, hundreds of songs, and they put up number 5. We were like number 280, 290, number 5. And so all these people start reading the sight reading this thing. And what they start playing was My Old Kentucky Home. And it shut up the Louisville crowd. They all stood. We thought it was the national anthem and everything. And they could go on, and you know, it was still hostile, but at least it helped them. But it's a part to play. Did we win the game? No, but it helped. Okay, so showing up. It also says, you know, that obedience is better than sacrifice. Just showing up. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and listen than the fat of rams. So we need to show up and obey what it has. The other thing is, look to the fields. There's a guy, he's back in the early 1900s. His name was Patrick Geddes, and he's the first Scottish planter. He's the first one that coined think globally, act locally. Not Rene Dubois from the United Nations, who likes to take credit for it, but it's this planner. But, you know, that's think about the world, but act globally. And it tells us to, in John 4, don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest even now. And one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life. So the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. That word look means to visit, to stoop down, to investigate. So look to the fields, go out there. And again, show up. Don't worry if you're capable or not, because I'll tell you right now, you're not capable, okay? So get it over with, just deal with it. But thank God, he makes us capable, right? He'll prepare you. John 14, 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. And it's so true. Always do show up. But I hear so many people, oh, well, you know, what can I do? I don't know. Can you carry a bag of cement? Because sometimes that's what it is. Can you dig? Like digging a well for some? I mean, don't worry about that. It's putting the focus on you instead of on him. And he will prepare. He'll bring you in remembrance. You know, traveling with, I got to travel a lot with this church. I went to Mexico, Canada, Guatemala, Honduras, Nicaragua, Peru, Argentina, Ukraine, Ireland, Costa Rica, all of the Spanish-speaking countries. I was usually a translator and doing all that. I got to translate for presbyteries with Pastor Doug in Costa Rica and in Peru and got to do a lot of things. You're probably out for 9 to 10 months, all told, just going out and going back to the same place. Got to go to Peru when the Smiths went, when we sent them out to Peru, and Robert Barriger was the sound man at the church. Okay, and I was talking to Taylor, his son, a few weeks ago about that, and then got to go when Bruce and Joanne Balcom went, and then got to go to the Amazon, and it's great to see just the word spreading. But people are just having church; they're having church everywhere, and they're glorifying and loving the same God. But I remember the very first time I had to preach; it was in Gracias Limpira, Honduras, and I was with Steve Fitzpatrick and Robbie Evans. And you know, you expect them to be saintly and all that. They were no help at all. They were Steve lost his voice. I mean, he was just had laryngitis, because if you knew Steve, he would scream and jump and yell, and he'd have me do the same things as I'm, translating for him. And Robbie Evans had this new charcoal filter that you could put any kind of water and not get sick. Well, he got sick. So we were giving him a hard time. So he said, there was this, we were there in Honduras, and we were like the main speakers, and they were starting off to some kind of festival. We didn't know what it was. And so he goes, well, you're going to have to do it. I go, I can't. I don't have anything prepared. How am I going to get prepared? And it's like, they're giving me all these things. Well, Rob, no, this is the way you do it, Robbie. Just get the book, put your finger in whatever's there. That's what you're going to preach. Oh, thanks. Thank you for all this wisdom. So anyways, I ended up preaching on Bartimaeus and, the blind beggar that's on the side of the road. And I was doing it in Spanish. And I was doing it in a version that is worse than the King James, La Reina Valera, in Spanish, which has all these conjugations that Spanish-speaking people don't even know how to use. And preaching through it, and then in the middle of it, ended up being German, but white people come in, and I'm thinking, oh my God, they're listening to me butcher this Spanish and everything, going through it. But I was talking about praying and persevering, and the pastor is like in the back, going back and forth like a lion. Like, oh my God, I'm sweating and thinking I'm really blowing it. And at the end, I go, well, I'm done. I mean, that was my finish. And he comes running up, and he's just jumping up and down for joy, because they were going to start out a week of praying and fasting for some needs that they had in the church about how to persevere and pray and speak louder when they tell you to shut up. And that was my whole message. And it was like, okay, that verse became real to me that day, because I had no idea. And he prepared it, because there's a secret. And I learned that a long time ago. God loves the person you're praying for more than you do. I don't care if it's your child, if it's your spouse, if it's your parent. God loves them more than you do. He does. No, only I can love my kid the way I love. No, God loves them more. And the other thing is, God wants to communicate to his people more than we could possibly ever want to. He wants to make sure that his word goes through. So we don't have to worry about that. So the other thing is just showing up and being obedient. And if you make a fool of yourself, you make a fool of yourself. I remember that I was probably the first or second year we were going down to Pastor Chewy. So that was in Tijuana. And many of you may have remembered Florian Buckle. She's a lovely woman of God. And so Thelma Fitzpatrick, Val's aunt, said, oh, well, Florian's going to go down and teach the lesson. And she pokes me in the chest, and you're going to translate for her. Okay. So she's like, Florian, you just keep it simple. And so Jim Ost was with us, and we went down there. And she starts talking with all this imagery, and I'm translating in Spanish, that sin is like a boil that gets underneath your skin, and that's coming up, boil. And I'm just like, what's the word for boil? So I said tumor, going through there and everything, and you just need to walk circumspectly before the Lord. Walk circumspectly before. What? She's talking to Kim James. And Jim Oss is crying, laughing out loud as I'm trying to translate for him. And I go, I have no idea if they got anything. But I obeyed God. I obeyed it. And I went through there. And then Florian just goes in and tells Florian, well, great for keeping it simple. I mean, I didn't understand what you were saying. So I got to put my phone on silent. So you need to just be there. Open yourself up. So obey leadership. That's leadership here, leadership in God. said, obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this, and with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be your benefit. And it says in 1 Timothy, the elders who direct the affairs of the church are well worthy of double honor, especially those who work in preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out grain, and the worker deserves his wages. And so really, it's obeying the leadership, because then you're obeying God. We had a lot of great ministries come through here, and I was very fortunate with that. We used to have presbyteries with lots of great people in here. And I was, Matt was reminding me last year that I went over his presbytery a number of years ago, and then I found that, Mike and Sylvia's presbytery, I had it in there with Mel Davis and Charlotte, Violet Kitely, and I think it was Moses Bay. So, I mean, you got the heavy hitters. And I, as an elder back then, I would get to be up on the platform, and it's just weird is the best way to say it, because I'm not a prophet, but you know what they're going to say before they say it. And that's what was easy when we're doing it in Spanish, because you knew it. And it just makes the Holy Spirit so real. But we had also the author of our covenants class, Pastor Charles Green. He came once, and a great guy. We were in the building over there, and he said something that stuck with me all these years. And he says, to whom are you going to submit your resignation? To whom? Because it's a life calling. And that stuck with me for a long time. And Daniel and I have been speaking about this for at least a couple of years now at this time. But there is then that sense of release where God says, yes, it's time. So it's not a resignation, it's a release. It's God saying, here, you know, here's what I want you to do. And I don't know what that is, but I know that God is going to guide each and every one of my footsteps. And I know that I'm going to enjoy it, because that's one thing that has really struck me home. And I learned a lot of things from Doug. He's my mentor. He's a great friend. I esteem him highly. And Val, it's crazy. Joy. I mean, just exuding joy and fun. And she won't let people just sit there and be a lump on the log. She just won't. And it's great. And I just learned that, you know, no matter what you do, you know, it's maybe she should have been with Disney, you know, whistle while you work, because we'd be out there doing lots of stuff that wasn't fun, but somehow we were having fun. And, you know, if you're going to do it, you know, you sort of subscribe to life is hard and then you die. No, I mean, have fun. Have fun while you're doing it. And I just really appreciate that and love that about it. So the last verse I have here is because I am going to spare you. I'm not going to do the Pastor Daniel method, taking you all the way to 11:30. I'm going to go 11:15 here. So, and that's the maturity. I got to, you know, to be elder here for quite a while with Pastor Doug and Pastor Bruce and all that, and now with Daniel, and the heart that he has. I mean, he's obviously a great teacher, but the heart of the pastor that he has is just unbelievable. And it's real. And in Philippians 1:15-18, it is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. For the former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But for what does it matter? And here's the part that I really want to bring in. It's important. What is important is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. And it's painful when people leave the church. It really is. When you have a heart, you know, you pray for them. And our eldership prays for you. We pray for you. We do. And it's hard to see that. But Daniel's, I mean, that maturity is there. Well, as long as they're going to a church. And, you know, there's some people that are having hard times with health and stuff. And they go, I don't know if their church is doing anything. I'm going to reach out. We'll reach out to see if we can help. And it's not a thing about, oh, they have to be here. It's about being part of the kingdom of God. And that has been so impressive and so encouraging to me, because it isn't about us. It really isn't. It's about bringing glory to God and guarding their souls and loving people. And at the end of the day, you just love people as much as you possibly can. And so, just giving the final benediction, I looked at the farewell speeches, and that's a big hint right there, of Samuel. I didn't take anyone's donkey. I know, no she, none of that. But here in Ephesians, it says, now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty work at his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And think about that. It's accomplished infinitely more than we might ask or think. That's our God. And we limit ourselves. And we can't. We shouldn't. We just have to realize how much God wants to bless us. He loves us. And as we start seeing how we bring glory to him, how we bring honor to him, then we really enjoy ourselves. And so it's being a joy. Even in the hard times, it's being joyful and rejoicing in God. So it's been my pleasure the entire time. I just have learned so much, but I know that it is time. It's a different season of life for us, and I really am grateful for it. And the thing is, I know that Daniel can speak. I know that Pastor Doug has spoken. These are all these verses. They've been tried and true and proven to me so many times over. And it's getting my priority right. And I, even when I'm praying, it's not, I don't know, God, that I'm going to necessarily move your hand, but you're going to help me accept whatever the outcome is. And that's just as important. But it doesn't mean we shouldn't pray. We just need to pray. But you know what? God is God, and we're not. So God bless you all. I, again, appreciate it. And Val?
No idea.
What? Farewell was like the biggest hint I could possibly give. No? Okay, Julie Andrews.
So, farewell.
There you go. So long, farewell. All speeders in. Goodbye. Thank you.